Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
Welcome back to Wonderful. It's episode 2 of Wonderful, and folks, the reviews are in. I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes right now when they're doing podcasting, and it looks like you got 100 stars.
Ooh.
How do you want to spend them?
I want to get the backpack and the jean jacket.
And the finger trap. That can be fun. And you can get like 10 Tootsie Rolls, but they're really shitty stale Tootsie Rolls.
The Huffy Bike.
Damn. Okay, we got 100 stars, babe. It's not that many.
It's on a scale of 150.
You've changed stars. The heuristics. Okay. Loves it is basically the moral of the story. Everybody fucking loves the show, and nobody said anything fucking mean about it or how she'd go back to covering The Bachelor. Fucking nobody. Nobody. Anyway, I don't want to get negative because this is wonderful. It's a positive show. We got 100 stars, and I don't know how I'm going to spend all of them. One time, it was my 10th birthday, and my nanny got me a star named after me.
That's what the McElroys call their grandmother.
Everybody knows it. Got me a star named after me, and I was so, like, psyched out of my mind.
Oh, you're that Griffin.
Uh-huh. You know how when you look up at the sky at night and there's that one big, weird red star?
Mm-hmm. That's me. That looks like it has glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought, I wonder who that's for.
Yeah, there's a face in it, yeah. And it's heading towards Earth. So, Melancholia style. Like, it's coming. I'm coming, I should say.
I never saw Melancholia.
I heard
it was not good.
I watched the first minute of it, and I saw a planet hit another planet. And I got so existentially spooked out that I was like, oh, thank you, Lars. Thanks, Lars. Check, please. So, on this show, we talk about things that we like and things that are good and things that we're excited about. And then we listen to some of the things that you're excited about. And then we talk about those, too. I would love to start off things this week.
I think you should start this week.
I'm going to start things off this week with a thing I've been really into lately.
Okay.
And I think I just have it on the brain because I've been traveling. I just got back from a Bim Bam tour. And the thing I want to bring to the table this week is bars, by which I mean bar foods, by which I mean bar-shaped foods. Foods in the shape of bars. Foods that use the bar format as a delivery vehicle.
Are you talking about a candy bar?
That's one of the things I'm talking about here. Yeah, for sure I'm talking about a candy bar. I'm also talking about, a nice bar. I'm talking about a granola bar. I'm talking about a Nutri-Grain bar. I'm talking about a little cereal bar. I'm talking about a little flapjack, is what our friends across the pond call a little friendly little breakfast bar. I'm talking about a brownie bar. I'm talking about a cookie bar. Any kind of damn bar that you could think of.
And you like all bars?
I tell you what I like is all bars, all bar-shaped foods. There's so many reasons for this. I travel like a lot, and I have basically since I kind of started working at Joystick, which was like 2000 and holy shit, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I kind of learned, like, I have a like loadout that I just know, like, I've got to have my cans, got to have my sleep mask. I bring Imodium. I learned that little trick based on my fateful trip to Austin where we met and I had the worst gut situation. Nowadays I usually have one or two bars with me and the bar type usually changes, but I always rely on a bar. And I think a bar, like I measure my hunger in like relative bars. That's not to say that I only eat bars, but that I know sometimes like, ooh, I'm getting pretty hungry, but dinner's in an hour. I can tie that over. I can cross that. I can lay a big bar down and cross that hour long bridge to get me to my next meal, my fourth meal or my third meal as the case usually is with a nice Osei peanut bar. I feel like you're not into this conversation at all.
Well, I'm just trying to think about it. So is it a cost saving thing or is it a really satisfying hunger thing?
A Snickers bar satisfies the hunger. They know it. They got a lot of stuff in that one bar. It's not a cost saving thing. It's a like, I have certain, whenever I snack, I always try to snack with a purpose. And so it's like, I need something that's I'm pretty hungry and it's 3 o'clock. Ooh, 3 o'clock is bar time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cause you gotta get yourself to six or seven until you get a bar going.
I think what I was confused about, so I have incorporated bars into my daily life for sure. But at first I thought it was just a travel thing for you. And that's what I was trying to figure out.
It's definitely like, a big travel thing.
What is it about travel that makes you want bars?
I'll tell you what it is. You never know. When you step onto an airplane, you are making a contract, an indefinite contract with that airplane. You never fucking know. When I get to like an airport and it's 11:35, right? And I'm not quite hungry yet because I have my breakfast at 10, but I'm on a 4-hour flight. I don't want it to be fucking 4 p.m. when I get to my destination. I haven't had lunch. That's where my friend bars come in. And
see,
I have two of
confused.
My bars.
I was confused because the Griffin McElroy I know that travels specifically in the morning always gets a coffee.
Yes.
Bagel and cream cheese.
And?
Banana.
Ties it all together. The banana. The banana makes the coffee and cream cheese bagel work together in the morning.
I don't know that I know this bar McElroy.
Well, I like to eat healthy in front of you. And that's one thing I should... I think there's probably...
Bagel and cream cheese is not that.
Well, it's all relative. One thing I do want to hop on here is I think there's a lot of bars out there that say a bunch of shit, but do another shit. There's a lot of Sweetums Activia bar or whatever they call them on that Parks and Rec episode of just like... Because here's the thing. If I eat a Clif Bar, it's like I've just eaten a fucking, like, magic eight ball of sugar. Like, it is.
Yeah, this is a fun story.
Oh, no. I don't think I know which one you're about to talk about.
No, it is.
Okay.
It's fun. When we went on our honeymoon, we brought, like, an economy size pack of peanut butter Clif Bars.
Which is my jam.
And we used those when we were kind of in between meals because we did a lot of walking.
Yeah, especially when we were in Hakone where there was like, we didn't know where a restaurant was sometimes. And
so now I forever associate peanut butter Clif Bars with our honeymoon.
It's my favorite. It really is. It's my favorite Clif Bar. Here, let's talk about, you eat a lot of kind bars. There's a lot to talk about in bars. But here's the thing about bars. Bars are usually just like perfectly snack sized. Thank you. I'm usually on the go, right?
I am never satisfied by a bar. I'm just going to put that.
You're never
out
satisfied
there.
By a bar, but you're okay. Oh, it'll get me there. He'll get me there. This bar.
I have
me
actually.
There.
This is a fun, maybe sad story. I have become very dependent on bars now that Henry has been born, because I find, especially when Griffin is out of town, it's difficult sometimes to eat meals while Henry is awake. So
you should never skip a meal for a bar.
I will just eat a bar for breakfast.
No, baby. Bars are your Bars are your friend. Bars are the car that gets you to your destination. They are not the destination itself.
Yeah, I know. This is why I was skeptical, because I've never eaten a bar and thought, well, that'll hold me over for 3 hours.
No. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You gotta do better than that. The bar is the bar's a car. It's a car bar. It's not Seattle or wherever it is.
You know
driving.
What bar I'm digging on lately? I know that's not the purpose of this conversation.
No, please, let's talk about bars.
Okay. I want to say it like Lara Bar.
Lara Bar, yeah.
Because there's no U in there.
Sure.
But they are dairy-free, soy-free.
Gotta have that.
And they have fun flavors. I got a mint chocolate chip brownie the other day.
Okay, you've brought me to my next point.
Pretty dope.
You've brought me to my next point. I hate to turn things, flip it on bars right now. After I've been building up bars, but I'm going to put bars on blast right now. Because here's the thing. Well, here's what I love. Candy bars. Loving them. Are you kidding me? The Milky Way, probably my favorite. I'll fuck with a Heath anytime.
You know what I almost brought to the table this week?
What's that?
Paydays.
Ooh, that would have been weird because those aren't my favorite.
Okay.
I don't want to yuck your yum. And I also like a granola bar, a Nutri-Grain, a peanut butter Clif Bar, whatever. I don't like a chocolate, like, granola bar. I don't groove on a chocolate, like...
That's ridiculous.
...fruit and nut bar. I want my candy bars to be separate, and then I want my fruit and nut and other flavors.
That's ridiculous.
Okay. The most contentious episode of Wonderful Yet. I'm not sure how I feel about this.
If chocolate is an option in any item...
I know.
...you should select it.
For sure. that's my thing. Bars. They are.
Bars.
They fall within the width and depth of my mouth, and then they get me 4 bites, and I'm good to go. They are a yum plug for my food socket, and I'm fucking into bars right now.
Wow. That's a soundbite
if
I ever heard
Nature
one.
Valley peanut bars are my jam. We get a box of 48 of them at Costco, and I drill into those motherfuckers. I destroy those big boxes. You're laughing because it's true. So unhealthy. Again, full Sweetums situation. A lot of these. I think I called them nice bars earlier. They're kind bars.
Yeah, I didn't really know what
Thank you
were getting to.
Kind bars. I think kind bars are okay. I think there's a few that are like okay, and then there's like a Clif bar that is like it, like eating 20 what
they all inevitably have more calories and sugar than you would think they would.
It's a bar. It's
but
your friend.
I'm of the mindset now that like you need those calories. Sometimes you need those calories.
I recognize that they are not helpful, and a lot of them are probably deceptive in their advertising, but a lot of times I have a bar-sized hole in my tummy, and they fill them right up. Bars.
Is it my turn?
I just moved away from my mic looking all satisfied at you. Like, I crushed my first topic. Let's see what's up.
You're going to be blown away.
If yours is like discs of food, spheres.
I don't think ours are going to be similar this week. Griffin and okay. I talked about how our dream is the week where we both bring the same thing, but I don't think that's this week.
Yeah, I would be blown away if you're like, this week I also wanted to bring a shape of food.
My first topic, Rube Goldberg's.
Oh, damn. Yes, baby. Mm-hmm. You are killing it.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about this when I was trying to come up with a topic. And I was thinking about my favorite movie, which is Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
This is the truth. Rachel's not just saying that.
Yeah. And I was thinking, what are some particular scenes in that movie that I like a lot? Maybe I'll just talk about those scenes. And then I thought, you know what I love? That opening breakfast montage where he gets out of bed and his little Rube Goldberg machine makes him breakfast. And I find that scene so satisfying.
Here's the thing about that scene. We also watched Sing, the animal singing movie, and there's a bit where a pig set up a Rube Goldberg machine to like take care of her kids while she goes on auditions.
Yeah.
Does he have to set up the eggs? And our coffee maker has a timer on it where I can put the coffee in the night before and put the water in the night before and then set it to make coffee waiting for me till it's up at 7 a.m. We've never done that. I do not think I would go around my house and like reset the egg beaters onto the kite and then put some orange juice inside of the bust of Leonard.
This is not the wonderful thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I didn't want to talk about the practical.
I think Pee-wee would do it. Pee-wee would do it. I don't think I've got it in me. Mm. I would need to hire somebody to come and refill the bust with the orange juice.
Yeah, that's not fun. That's not fun to think about.
I mean, it's an expense, but like there's no such thing as a free automated Rube Goldberg breakfast.
I want to focus on the wonder of these machines.
I'm blown away by them. I'm blown away.
And you're talking about whether they get orange juice in there every morning. Come on.
Where do you think the orange juice comes from? Let's be realistic here.
Rube Goldberg.
Was a big racist, probably. Did you Google that? We got to Google that stuff. I'm going to Google Rube Goldberg. Hold on. Wait. Keep talking, but I'm going to Google Rube Goldberg racist.
Was born in 1883 and lived till...
1883. The odds are probably pretty good.
He lived till 1970.
Holy shit. He probably had some sort of machine that he had plugged into.
Here's the thing that I didn't realize.
Okay.
He was a cartoonist, and the reason that Rube Goldberg... the inventions got associated with him is because in his comic strip, he had a character that would develop crazy inventions. So Rube Goldberg himself, not an invention guy. It was a cartoon he drew.
Okay.
So the cartoon was based on Professor Lucifer Gorgonzola Butts. And I say based on, but this is obviously a fictional character. So when I was researching Rube Goldberg, there is a corresponding guy in the UK. So instead of calling them Rube Goldbergs in the UK, they call them Heath Robinsons.
What?
There was also a cartoonist in the same time period named Heath Robinson that also had a character that created fun inventions.
Okay,
Heath. And so in the UK, they call them Heath Robinsons.
All right, Heath. I mean, maybe Rube yoinked it. Who was there first? Do you have any indication?
I don't know. I don't know if this was one of those like simultaneous stars aligned situations where they were both doing it. I don't know.
Okay.
But movies that have featured Rube Goldberg's include Wallace and Gromit, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Back to the Future,
mm-hmm.
The Goonies, Gremlins, the Saw movies, which I thought was kind of a stretch.
Well, I mean, everything in the, it pulls on the thread and then your ribs come
Home
out.
Home Alone.
Home
match.
Alone, kind of. Again, like, for me, it has to go on for, like, a bit.
Well, you'd walk in, and the blowtorch would light up and set your head on fire.
That's a trap. If you, like, step into, like, this pile of leaves and it falls out and you land on the spike trap I have under that, that's not a Rube Goldberg machine. That's a trap I laid for you.
So when I was in eighth grade in my physics class...
Did you make one?
We all had to create Rube Goldbergs.
How'd it go?
Pretty good. The thing we didn't account for was that when we set up on two tables that weren't level.
Oh, beans.
So we had this ball going down a ramp that would hit dominoes. Dominoes would fall over and put a stamp on a letter.
Yeah.
But the ball kept bouncing when it got to the end of the ramp because it was
chaos
uneven.
Theory. Mm. Didn't you see Jurassic Park?
I did see
Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
There was a Japanese children's television show called Pitagora Suichi. which is a Pythagoras switch, I guess, in Japanese, that had a, I saw this last year, and I just Googled it, and it turned up an article, actually from this past April, from our good buddy Chris Plant on The Verge, and it is a Rube Goldberg machine that tells a story about these like brothers wandering through a forest, but everything that happens in it is like things like moving around in a little thing. It's fun. So good.
Oh, for those that aren't familiar with the concept of Rube Goldberg's, it's taking kind of complicated gadgets to perform simple tasks in indirect, convoluted ways.
If you've ever seen an OK Go music video,
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to get there. Do you remember one of the first nights that we had Henry home and he was sleeping in bed with us and we were so tired and we'd watched literally everything on Netflix, and so we watched a documentary about the making of an OK Go music video where they did the parabolic flight stuff? Those were fun. I have another one here. Can I talk about my next one?
Yes, please.
I want to talk about the wombat.
You basically introduced me to the wombat.
I'm a recent sort of fan.
I was not familiar, really, with the wombat.
I'm a recent fan of the wombat. Everybody, I think, knows my proclivities for the humble capybara, the big rodent, the big and wonderful rodent. They've got little teeth inside of their huge, huge faces, and they got, like, horse hooves, basically, and it's really great. And I think my admiration for the wombat is sort of also like there, except like the wombat, if this is even possible, is even smaller and maybe even cuter than the capybara, more bear-like, definitely sort of more spherical. This is a round mound of
smaller,
sound here,
right?
smaller, definitely. They usually grow to be about 1 meter in length.
You're gonna have to convert that for me.
I think that meter 3 feet, or is yard 3 feet?
Yard is 3 feet.
Meter's like what, 3 point?
I have no idea.
Fuck. So Rachel and I are both scientists. That's why we do this show. Wombats are, go look at a picture of a wombat before we get started if you're not familiar. Because I think before I saw my first wombat, I think I thought they were something completely different. I thought they were like weird, nasty rats, or maybe even literally bats.
Yeah, I thought they were more bat-like.
I thought they may have been sort of a flying creature of some sort. No, these are just little, sort of a mix between a capybara and like a koala bear.
You know how I know something is cute?
Hmm.
When I think about putting clothes on it.
Oh, okay.
That's my metric. Like, if I see an animal and I think, what would that animal look like in overalls? That means that I think it's cute.
Yeah.
And a wombat definitely
would
look
would be
great.
Good. And I think a wombat would be into it. I think a wombat would definitely be into it. They are marsupials that are native to Australia.
Marsupials are like 100% great.
They are batting 1,000, definitely. Is there an ugly, like awful marsupial?
I'm sure there is, but let's not think about that.
Let's think about the good ones, like the wombat. The wombat is so good. Here's a fact from Wikipedia. Though genetic studies of the Vombatidae have been under... That's the... Whatever. That's what nerds call them. Have been undertaken, evolution of the family is not well understood. Wombats are estimated to have diverged from other Australian marsupials relatively early, as long as 40 million years ago, while some estimates place divergence at around 25 million years. Where did these fucking things come from? I don't know. They're wicked old, and we don't know where they came from, but they are, I think God put them here on Earth.
That means like
they're angels.
There's maybe caveman drawings of wombats.
No, baby, you're going to get a slam because I do not know the time periods at which different things did and did not exist.
Well, they were definitely here before us, right?
I mean, we've only been here 6,000 years. I don't know anything about anything. But what I do know is that nobody knows where these wombats came from, and that delights me to no end. They're such a wonderful little creature. Wikipedia describes them as short-legged, muscular, quadrupedal marsupials. And I love that because they do. If you look at them
like little Tony Robbins.
If you look at them through, that's weird that that's where you went. Yeah, they're like little Brock Lesnars. If you look at them and you just think like these are soft, sweet little animals, that's great. But if you look at them, they look like really like, if they were bigger, like actually like Kodiak bear size, they'd be fucking ripped. Yeah. But because they're so tiny, you look at them and you're just like, look at those little tiny
little
piggies.
No, if they were
bigger,
they'd be very prehistoric-like, I think.
Let me tell you, I was Googling a video of wombats to get prepared for this sort of emotionally, mm-hmm. and also because it's a Tuesday, and I needed that strength in my life.
Yes.
And there's a lot of ones of just like them hanging out in a you know, a big backpack, just like cuddling around. And there's one of like a guy laying in a field and a little guy.
Are there any
comes
of them eating? What do they eat?
Plant stuff.
Okay.
They're very, 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 there's two, as far as I could tell, records of, attacks of wombat to human attacks. Two, that's fucking great. Earth's been around for a trillion years or so. Two wombat attacks is not, they've been repping the set for like 40 million to 25
yeah,
million years.
Better than
two,
sharks.
Way better than sharks. Let's not get on sharks, though. They're going through a tough time. Wombats are, I was looking, and there was one where like a guy was trying to water some plants at like some sort of mm-hmm. habitat in Australia, and this wombat kept like running up to his feet and legs, just wanting some love. But he's like,
oh,
get out of here.
Nice. I think I've seen that one.
Then I watched a video done by a gentleman who is, as far as I can tell, an extreme Australia explorer, and his particular jam is getting in abandoned sewer tunnels, like very, very, very narrow spaces, which sent me down into a tizzy. And it was listed as a wombat attack, and I was like, well, I do need to do my prep work for this. I gotta know if these creatures are vicious, because if so, I don't want to promote them. And what he explained, and what Wikipedia backed up, and by the way, he explained this while showing his like GoPro video of him climbing through this like super narrow tunnel, and then there's a wombat, and then he freaks the fuck out, which I thought he was being childish. But then let me read this from Wikipedia. Their primary defense is their toughened rear hide, with most of the posterior made of cartilage. This, combined with its lack of a meaningful tail, makes it difficult for any predator that follows the wombat into its tunnel to bite and injure its target. When attacked, wombats dive into a nearby tunnel, using their rumps to block a pursuing attacker. A wombat may allow an intruder to force its head over the wombat's back, and then use its powerful legs to crush the skull of the predator against the roof of the tunnel, or drive it off with its two-legged kicks like those of a donkey. Hi, welcome to my house. I'm gonna fucking destroy you with my big,
my
heavy butt. Hi, yeah, come on. Oh, you're gonna bite my butt? Oh, you're gonna bite my butt? Oh, enjoy. Oh, it seems like you're having trouble. Maybe it's because it's hard as a rock back there.
That's incredible.
You thought you could just have a meal of my dumps? Yeah, come here. Come a little closer. Get it right above my butt. Okay. Squish. Oh, no, your head exploded because I used my big and powerful and adorable butt, my big and powerful and fucking rock hard tushy to destroy your fucking head.
Can we develop a workout video called Wombat Ass? And it's just us doing kind of lunges and squats to really tone up the posterior so that we can, as humans, develop a tough, strong wombat ass.
Maybe, or maybe I can just get some sort of cartilage implant back there to just give me that really powerful. I just like, I cannot get
take
over
the cartilage from my nose.
Yeah, get it all out of there.
Put it in
my shoulders, knees, get it all out of there. Put it all in my butt. What I can't get over is this image of like, you know, a Tasmanian devil. Are they carnivores? I don't know anything about anything. A big wolf chasing a wombat. Wombat dives in the tunnel. Wolf's like, haha, sucker, now you're trapped. And the wombat's like, I'm not in here with you. You're in here with me. Squish. Like, oh, you're trying to bite my butt. Because
so
I think, because I get that, like, evolution and, like, instinct, like, teaches this out of animals where, like, you know, like, okay, well, I'm not going to fuck with that animal because they have this advantage in this home turf. I do not think that this is a thing that anybody could ever learn. Because you see a wombat and you're like, I'm going to fucking pop that in my mouth, like, pop secret. And then it goes into a hole and you're like, yum, 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 dinner time. And then your head is destroyed by its huge, powerful ass.
What if you could breed a wombat and a skunk? Wouldn't that be incredible? So if they're not deterred by you spraying them with your smell.
Right. That's sort of the non-lethal tactic.
You just smush them with your butt.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love
that. So
that
guy in that video that I was talking about, he sees this wombat and he's like, no. And he like gets out because he gives like this testimonial at the beginning of the video. Like, that was one of the scariest things that's ever happened to me. I've gone on a lot of adventures, and based on his YouTube channel, he has. And he was like, and it would not be that hard for that wombat to back up and suffocate me. Fuck yes, wombat. Don't murder wombat, but like the fact that you came with your butt is extremely good to me.
Gosh.
Again, I'm sorry, babe. I think capybara is slipping a little bit down the list.
Yeah,
I think capybaras are great. I don't think my exposure to them is as tremendous since the Nagasaki Biopark vine isn't available anymore.
Yeah.
But these wombats are adorable as shit. All they want to do is snuggle, and they want attention and snuggle. And also, if you go into their tunnel, they'll destroy your fucking head with their big,
powerful
butt. Best animal.
And they look really good in like a little straw hat.
Oh.
Oh, man.
can we get suspenders on one of these things? I don't know how we're going to fit it over. You put any kind of pants over that big butt. And it's
little
like, oh, really?
Little spectacles on its head.
Holy shit. How about we take a break and talk about some advertisers?
Okay. Can I steal you away? It's very sensual.
Well, that's and again, a lot of the reviews that we got were not sensual enough. Turn up the sex. And so here we are. We got a couple Jumbotron messages here. This one is for Eileen Denny, and it's from Matt Denny, who says, happy anniversary, Leaner. That's already the cutest shit ever. We've been married for 3 years now, and I have loved every minute of it. Whether raising our adorable baby, reading to you while you fall asleep, losing to you at Dr. Mario, or listening to all of our good podcasts together, you're my favorite. Love you, babe. Q Griffin humming Amber by 311. I don't really understand why I don't know why, baby, that wasn't me.
Where'd that come from?
I have no baby. I need you to go get the shot and jam it directly in right into my brain, babe. It's the only way to baby, please.
I like it. Why would I stop this?
Because you need to get to the refrigerator and get the shot out of it and put it right in my brain. Please, baby.
Shades of
it's gold not a time to groove. Naturally. It's not a time to groove. Can you read this other Jumbotron?
This message is for Griffin.
Hey, I know him.
It's from Angus McDonald, Boy Detective.
The crossover event that everybody's been asking for the past week when our show debuted.
All right, here I'm going to show my fandom.
Do my
Angus impression.
Please do.
Hello, sir. It's Angus McDonald, Boy Detective, speaking from across dimensions. I just wanted to say thanks for creating me. I'm a delightful character who brings joy to thousands of the Adventure Zone fans. I've never seen The Bachelor before, but I hear it's about the greatest mystery of all, love. So I'm sure I'd be a fan if it existed in my world.
Oh, my sweet Angus, my sweet boy.
If you want to get a Jumbotron, how would you do that?
You would go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotrons and do them there. And if you already had one on Rose Buddies, it's going to be on Wonderful. Obviously, that's how it's been working. Thank you, Angus.
Thank you, Angus. I apologize that I can't do the Angus voice, but
you did so good, babe.
I captured the mood, I thought.
I'm Allegra Ringo.
And I'm Renee Colbert, and we host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog?
Renee, can I tell you about a dog I met this week?
I wish that you would. In turn, though, can I tell you about a dog hero?
May I tell you about a dog breed in a segment I like to call Mutt Minute?
I would love that. Could we maybe talk about some dog tech?
Could we have some cool guests on, like Lin-Manuel Miranda, Nicole Byer, and Ann Wheaton?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
I'm in.
You're on board? What do you say we do all of this and put it into a podcast?
Yeah, okay.
You think? All right. Should we call it, like, I don't know, Can I Pet Your Dog?
Sure.
All right. What do you say we put it on every Tuesday on Maximum Fun?
Or on iTunes.
Sounds good to me.
Meeting's over.
My second wonderful thing.
Please.
Foursquare.
Oh, okay, wait. Are you talking about the app?
The
or
game.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the app. I'm talking about the game.
Foursquare, man. I used to play the fuck out of Foursquare.
Foursquare was the best game for child athletes that weren't athletes.
That is so apt.
There's a rubber ball.
Foursquare. What would you call that ball? I guess a dodgeball, right?
It's like a playground ball.
Like a playground ball, a dodgeball, yeah. A foursquare ball.
Well, more of a kickball than a dodgeball. Dodgeballs were usually smaller.
Okay.
And it is. It's just a square drawn on the ground with four quadrants.
Yeah.
If
memory serves, you had a teammate. I would usually play this is going to get wild, because there were school to school in Huntington, exactly. West Virginia, the worlds were different. I cannot imagine how y'all fucked around in St. Louis.
I know. So this is also called box ball.
It's not.
Or King's Corners.
Incorrect.
And it's been around at least since the 1950s.
This seems like one of those ancient, like they were playing this in like Incan like civilizations.
So I found it interesting to read about this just because they listed a lot of example rules. So the way it's played, for those that don't know, there are always four people playing, and each time You advance in the game, which you advance by somebody either dropping the ball or the ball going out of bounds. And when they get kicked out, you move up a square to replace them. And so once you're in the four square, you get to decide the rules.
And you get to serve and...
Yes.
Yeah.
And so there's a four square world championship, which I thought was a little suspect because it happens in Bridgeton, Maine. And when I looked at the list of winners, they were all people from Maine. Like they say,
okay.
They say on the website that it draws athletes from the USA and Canada and has registered competitors from Israel to Bermuda.
Okay.
But when you look at the list of winners, it's they're Maine. All Maine.
I mean, that's partially because like who is like, there's probably not that so many people that are that into Foursquare that they will drive up to Maine. To compete.
But tell me if you're familiar with any of these.
Oh man, rules. I had such a specific rule set. I'm so fucking excited to hear
I've
about
got
this.
Them in my head too.
Okay.
Early birds.
Don't know. No, what is that? So to paint like a little bit more of a clear picture, it's kind of tennis rules, right? Where you get the ball served to your square, it bounces once in your square.
You hit it back
and then
and
you
forth.
Have to hit it to a different square. I almost always played duos where you and your partner were on opposite corners, and so
we never played that.
Okay.
Snake eyes.
No way.
Jackpot.
No.
Body parts.
Does that mean you can hit them in the body and then they're out?
You can hit the ball with any part of the body.
Okay. No, I did play it that if it hit them, like it counted as a hit, and so they would be out. So that was a good tactic of just slamming it at somebody.
Bobbles.
Was that where you could sort of bounce it from one hand to the other?
Yeah.
We did play bobbles.
Double taps.
Was that where you could hit it towards the ground and then hit it a second time to that was like a faint strike maneuver where you'd hit it and somebody would think they would know how hard it was going and then you could hit it a second time.
So
That was the only rules?
Those are just the examples they gave.
Okay. I would play outside lines are in, inside lines are out. No matter what, if you hit an inside line, you're out. If you hit the outside line, it counts. That's fair
play. I am
not
familiar with that at all.
Okay, that one's in. We would play popcorn where you could...
I know popcorn.
You could bounce it inside of somebody else's square and then move in really quick to hit it a second time and bounce it down and that would be out.
That's different than I think I know.
We definitely played that if you hit somebody else with any other part of their body, so you could drill it at them, but if they got out of the way, it would be out, obviously. We had so many rules. We had a four square championship. Here's a sad story. I tried out for the basketball team at Miller Elementary School every year.
That's
and
sweet.
I never made it. I never even came close
did
to making
you think
it.
That
Please finish the sentence because it's going to be so cruel and you can't have started it and not finish it, but go ahead and say it. Go ahead and finish it because it's going to be remarkably cruel, but you've already started it and I know what the end's going to be, so you may as well say it because I'll be even more hurt if you don't. Go ahead and finish that sentence for me, please, and just
Did you think you were good at basketball?
All right, there it was.
I'm sorry.
You know what? I know what I said. It was much worse to actually hear it. We had a basketball court growing up in our backyard. We had a grass backyard where we had all of our toys. And then one day we built a family room extension onto the back of our house. And then dad paved over the backyard and put in a basketball court, paved by the backyard, put up a baseball court. And I didn't play that much, but everybody, it was fucking Space Jam had just come out. It was fucking 96. Michael Jordan was crushing it in the Bulls.
What was
your
biggest basketball skill? Were you a good shootsman?
Yeah, I was a good shootsman.
Your dribbling?
I was actually pretty good at three pointers. But if anybody was covering me in any way, I would fall the fuck apart. But I can make a miracle long bomb from time to time.
Okay.
I was not good, but it's still if you were cool at our elementary school, you auditioned for the basketball team.
You auditioned for the basketball team. That's sweet.
Is that what I said?
Yes.
Oh shit. You tried out for the director of the team. And so I did every year and I never made it, right? And there were kids that I grew up with and was in preschool and elementary school with, and we had in-home nanny's not the right word, but an in-home daycare thing that somebody ran, and me and some of these kids were in it, and then they got athletic and they joined the basketball team. So I'd always join it just because all my old buddies were doing it, and that was where I started to feel I was sort of slotting into my place in the hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
Because I had all I had all these buddies in kindergarten, I had these buddies in first grade, and I had these buddies in second grade, and then by third grade they were
I know.
Accomplished athletes.
That's exactly when you figure it out.
And I was not. And I was like watching them all kind of drift away a little bit, which not a complete sad story. Like I started doing community theater around that time and I made this incredible group of friends that I have to this day. But this was like scary for me. And so I always tried to have a basketball team, never made it. But I was fucking good at Foursquare. I was really fucking good at Foursquare. And so one day my elementary school threw a Foursquare tournament. And I got on a team with a couple of my old buddies, fucking Stetson and David and John. And
you had a buddy whose first name was Stetson?
Yeah.
Oh, that's darling.
He ran, I don't know if he still does. I think it may have shut down, but he ran a candy store next to a movie theater in Huntington.
Did he have a handlebar mustache?
He did not, no. I was on a team with them, right? And we would do like rotations, like knockout style, or once your team was completely knocked out, you're out. And we were crushing it. We like made it through like three rounds of the tournament, made it to the finals, or the final two. We were one of the teams in, and we lost to the first place team. And I was heartbroken because it was so sad. Like, these were my friends, and I was finally proving to them, like, I'm an athlete too. And then I went to computer lab and I got on like the clip art software and I made certificates.
Oh, sweet Griffin.
I made little certificates for coming in second place.
Oh, sweet Griffin.
And I gave them to my friends.
Oh my gosh, I just want to hug you.
I'm getting emotional thinking of this story because I'm just now processing like why I did that. And it makes me extremely sad.
No, it's charming. Oh.
Maybe they still have those certificates. Maybe they treasure them.
Well,
you
still had your math blaster certificate.
Yeah, that's true.
Space captain.
God, I forgot about that.
When you moved from Chicago.
Foursquare fucking owns.
I wanted to go. So this is what I was interested about Foursquare. Griffin and I grew up, for the most part, in a time where the internet didn't really dictate how we found out about things.
Yeah.
So the fact that we all played Foursquare all around the country, but played with different rules is what's interesting to me. So I wanted to see if you were familiar with any of my...
Okay, what are yours?
Cherry bombs.
What was that?
That was when you could bounce it into somebody's square as hard as possible, and they would have like 10 seconds to go get the ball and bring it back.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think
we called that cherry bomb.
We had something like that, but I don't think it had a countdown clock. I think it was just like, how big of a dick can you be?
So they'd have to run and go get it, and if they couldn't get it back in, and they would usually be hurling it from across the playground trying to get it back in. Typewriters?
Is that where you could just kind of like bounce it really low to the ground?
Yeah,
real
like
fast?
Very low.
Yeah.
There. Mm-hmm. Typewriters. I also remember something called baby bouncies, which in my head is very similar to typewriters.
Okay.
And there was also like a TV tag or something. There was something where you would pass it around in a circle and everybody had to name a TV show, which I always looked forward to because that was where I shined.
I can't make a fucking layup to save my life, but I could talk about all the characters in ALF and all of the episode B plots.
Gosh, what else was there? Those are the ones that I remember.
Okay. I mean, I named most of mine already. Mm-hmm. The main one was inside lines are out, outside lines are in. And I was such a fucking like douche about that stuff. Like, oh, inside line. Nope. Like they would be playing and I would just like catch the ball, like hit the inside line. Get on out of here. One time, John Kreider slapped me in the face because I said inside lines are out, outside lines are in. We both got sent to the principal's office. He slapped me right on my face and I was fucking like 7. So I didn't really know how to handle that. And he was tall. He was a big, he got big early. He slapped me right across the face and it really stunned me. And we got sent to the principal's office and I didn't say anything because John was my buddy and I should have.
Did you make a certificate for him later that said best slapper?
This story's making me sad too. I realize I'm looking back on that story and I don't know how I feel about it because I make some emotions. I just didn't want my buddy to get in trouble.
Wow, I didn't realize Foursquare was going to be such a rich vein for you.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But we used to play that like every day.
I played it every
recess,
day. Yeah, I played
like,
it every day for 5 years. So like, yeah, of course I have
that
a lot of memories.
And
to it.
Hot lava.
That's just where you can't touch the floor?
Yeah, we had one of those like cement bar mazes things, and you would sit in the corners and try and make it to other corners.
Now, this is what I played. This is what I played in elementary school on regular elementary school days. In my tag class days, my talented and gifted class, we would usually just climb up on the big toy and do some, by which I mean like, you know what I mean by a big toy?
No, I don't.
Like a little thing with like a slide and a, like a jungle gym on it.
Like a playscape?
Okay, again, a regional difference thing.
I think there's a big toy.
I've heard big toy before.
Oh my gosh, that's adorable.
We would get up on it.
Wait, can you say it in your West Virginia accent, please?
My big toy. And we would get up there and we would basically do like a Final Fantasy LARP.
Oh, God.
That's what me and my friends at Tag Class would do. We'd get up there and we would talk about, you know, how our games of Civilization 2 went last night. We would pretend to be, you know, Cecil and Rydia and Golbez up there and, you know,
was
casting
Rachel
spells.
Was Rachel Bailey in this with you?
She was, yeah. Yeah, she was. She came in. She was one of the students that I came in from another school because we didn't go to the same elementary school together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of my friends now were in that one. Not a big surprise that there's a lot of crossover between, like, theater kids and, like...
Oh, Griffin.
Final Fantasy LARPers.
I've learned a lot about you in this conversation.
It's been a good episode.
And can I tell you something?
Uh-huh.
Love you more than ever.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to be really unpacking that fucking Foursquare second place certificate story all night. I think we won't put this one out. Oh, hey, we have submissions. Thank you all for sending in your submissions. If you want to get a submission on the show, go to wonderfulpodcast@gmail.com. Try to keep it one or two sentences like these, and we will look into them. Here's one. Every autumn, I listen to Fleetwood Mac's Rumours, not exclusively, but a lot. It's the perfect soundtrack to the leaves changing and the beginning of sweater weather. And after 4 years of this tradition, I get more excited about hearing Stevie Nicks sing Dreams than I do about Christmas music. And that's from Tori.
That is such a good...
Like fall music in general, the idea of like, okay, it's the first cool day. Let's roll down the windows and I put on, what do you put on? I feel like I have it, like any Nick Drake album.
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Nick Drake.
I've never
brighter,
really thought.
Brighter Later, I will put that shit on and just like, oh, it's fall. Like this is the moment that it switches
over.
I
thought about like summer music. I've never really thought about fall music.
Oh, dude, I have two fall playlists on Spotify. Summer music is not.
Like jams.
They're jams. They're temporary. Cuts the feeling, right?
Yeah.
But like, I will put on a Nick Drake album every fall, and it's like a flag
music?
In the ground.
Well,
what's that?
I want to say Joni Mitchell, although
definitely
blue. She does have some.
California is fun and sort of summery. I also equate like Dave Brubeck and like any of the, like the jazz albums that you sort of added to our collection. Like I think about like cooking chili in the fall and listening to Dave Brubeck.
Oof, that's nice.
That's getting me going right now. That was a very good one. Thank you, Tori. Here's another one. I'm going to mispronounce this. Okeanos Explorer. That's Okeanos Explorer. Live streams from the bottom of the sea make me inordinately happy. When I notice they've started a new mission, I fist pump quietly to myself in my office at work, eager to live out vicariously my childhood Jacques Cousteau dreams. They are currently exploring north of Hawaii. And then there's a link to the YouTube channel. And you can go to just search for Ocean Explorer, Okeanos, and you can find their website. I watched
that out. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I watched some of this streaming. It's just like people going on actual, like using those like little submersible vehicles, like little underwater adventures. Just like, hey, the world is like 90% ocean. Let's see what the fuck's going on down there.
That's cool.
Into that. That was sent in by JB. Thank you, JB. Here's one from Trishelle. In April earlier this year, I started ice skating, and even more recently, I started taking lessons for figure skating. I'm super excited about it, and I'm curious if you guys have ever tried ice skating too.
Tried ice skating?
Yeah. Have you ever got like, you ever thought about like getting into it?
I grew up in the Midwest. Like ice skating was what we did on the weekends.
Did you ever play hockey?
No, but I wanted to. I was one of those kids, as I mentioned earlier, I wasn't unathletic, but I also wasn't confident in my athleticism.
Sure.
And to be a lady trying out for the hockey team, I felt like I had to be super good.
That sucks.
And so I didn't ever do
it. I'm not saying that sucks that you said that. I'm saying that like that sucks that was like a pressure that was applied
so,
in any way.
Because there was, in my high school, there was one girl that played hockey and she was a goaltender and she was not treated well. And so it kind of set the tone.
That sucks, man. Let's go play hockey. Let's get into like
I love ice skating. I'm actually pretty good at it. And in middle school, I got my own pair of hockey skates and I could really turn those corners.
I would love to go ice skating with you sometime. Yeah. I have not gone since I lived in Huntington. And there was one that like we would take trips to when we were at church because it was like right down the street. And I would always get blisters on my ankles because I guess I wasn't very good at it.
My gosh.
But then I just watched Yuri on Ice, and now I think I could really carve it the fuck up out there.
I just got this image of the two of us going ice skating and holding little Henry's hands, and now I just want to go to sleep and dream about it.
Okay. Okay, well, let's go there. Let's go to sleep together. This has been wonderful. Thank you for listening. This episode is probably a little bit longer than they're usually going to be, but we got really into talking about Foursquare and Wombats there.
Please review our show on iTunes. Now that we've switched formats, it's really helpful to get your feedback.
Yeah, we were the number one podcast. And by the way, we need to change this category, film and TV. Probably need to switch that. We'll probably talk about film and TV sometimes, but it'll not be the main focus of the show. And that was because everybody was like supporting us, and that really means a lot. And if you continue doing it, if you have not left a review, I know every podcast on earth asks you to do that stuff, but it really is helpful when you're getting started out. And so now is the time to do it. And thank you. Thanks to Maximum Fun for having us. You can go to MaximumFun.org, check out all the great podcasts there. Shows like Stop Podcasting Yourself and Lady to Lady.
There's the new show, Who Shot Ya, with Ricky Carmona.
Yeah. A bunch of really great shows, all for free on MaximumFun.org. Big thanks to Bowen and Gus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. I am going to drop a link to the song here in the description of this podcast if you want to check it out. But it's like a really good jam, and you should go check it out. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Yep, we'll be back next week with more wonderful. We still don't know what the outro is going to be, but we'll light the beacons and get everybody together, and we'll figure it out for you. Because it can't be this. It can't just be us like rambling uncomfortably at the end of each episode every week.
Some people have suggested like it's been wonderful, or like it's been wonderful talking to you, or you know, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we could just end it with a sort of like general, like positive, like, all right.
Woo.
Well, no, we can't do that because we almost always record when our baby's asleep.
Oh, yeah.
Keep crushing it like a wombat ass. You want to say that every week?
I mean, I want to say it this week.
We'll figure it out. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
And movie buff Ricky Carmona, and I'm excited to tell you about a new show I'm doing called Who Shot Ya? Join me, LA Weekly film critic April Wolf.
I'm gonna call Star Wars when it comes out the Clint Howard Project.
Film reviews editor for The Wrap, Alonzo Duraldi.
Everything Charlize Theron knows about killing somebody with a high-heeled shoe she learned from single white female, trust me.
And our dope-ass friends each week.
I think we need to end this pernicious belief in our society that there is anything remotely fuckable about rich dudes who are emotionally unavailable.
So if you're tired of whack opinions and you're looking for a smart, funny film discussion show, check out Who Shot Ya, Son? That's what we do. And you can find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.